great sun so bright. Unify our world. Our shoes placed together in harmony. We are one. Rebirth of the sun.
White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is White Aryan Resistance. This is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy, here in the bunker right here in North Central Indiana on a Saturn's Day. The third month, March the 7th, 2015. And spring is on the way, boys and girls. It's climbing fast. The sun's shining and the ice is melting and we're on our way. Going to be pretty soon time for me to put on my thong and jump in the creek with my inner tube. I can float right down through the golf course and say hi to all those golfers. Yeah, I can do that. Hey, I'm going to give you a special treat today, and I'm going to give you a speech I made at the 20th anniversary of the murder of Bob Matthews. I gave this speech way up there, Whidbey Island. I was invited up to give a speech, and it was terrible weather. It was cold, and you know, it's a rainforest up there, and boy, I'll tell you. But we had about, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 people there, but they all were good people that weathered all that bad weather to get up there. So now you're going to hear the speech and see if you can find anything in it that I don't say similar things today.
Anniversary of the assassination and martyrdom of Robert Matthews. It took place on Whidbey Island at the property at which the assassination took place. Here we go.
And what he wanted to do, he had a problem. He came from a working class background, and he was a lot like me in some ways. Got into conservative politics just like I did. And he tried all these things like I did, all the third parties, all the groups. He went through the John Birch Society. I spent about 9 years at a John Birch Society. But as he said in his tape, he began to see we were losing on all fronts. Joined a couple of racial membership organizations. And many of these organizations had good intentions, and some of them still do. But the fact remains that you're never going to beat your enemy by simply trying to educate the masses. There has to be a spark for revolutionary activity. Matthews decided that he would be the first one out of the chute, although he was actually second because Joe Tomasi with the National Socialist Liberation Front had started a similar group in Southern California years before. He did a lot of activity around L.A., busting up the Reds and all that kind of stuff. But Bob raised the price of poker and started the order. And Bob was doing really good. He was a worker, he was a rancher, and he was really doing good at bringing the right kind of people together. And the reason he brought them together was the right wing was not furnishing the funds to bankroll any kind of real revolutionary activity in this country. You know how it is to get money out of these people on the right. I disowned the right. I no longer haven't been in the right for a long time, and I'm never going back. He was discouraged because all he heard was always talking and no real intelligent action. So he struck out against the system. He was doing real well until they made one little mistake. He wanted to recruit more people in the order. And that was one mistake he made. Bob Matthews was a trusting kind of guy. He really was a likable person. And he trusted too many people. The hardcore he started out with were good men. But then he reached out and recruited some people that weren't good men or were just in it for the money. Like Tom Martinez, who's still walking the streets. Who sniffs him off. And also, another person that we've been attempting to identify accurately for many years, for 20 years, the order members and a lot of us, that was the informant on this island who made the telephone call that caused them to find Bob. There's a little bit of disagreement on who that was, but we'll gradually find out for sure. Make one thing sure, that a lot of people got away with what they did of informing against the order and so forth for a while, even 20 years. But we never have forgotten them, and we'd like to know where they're at. Because someday, somehow, some way, they're going to walk out of the front of the house and they're going to be on candid camera. It's time, brother. You had 20 years. It's all over. There's a lot of secrets of the order that will never be known. And there's even secrets that I'll never tell. But I want to tell you, Bob Matthews was really heading places. He had things wired together much bigger than you'll ever know. But he came to an end before he could put all this together. Now remember also that almost the entire right wing in this country disavowed Bob Matthews and the order. A lot of them are the same leaders who now say, talk how great Bob Matthews was. But at the time, the only people who backed Bob Matthews and the order were Robert Miles of the Mountain Churches, Pastor Butler, and myself. There was no other people of any major stature that supported them or would not apologize for what they did. Some of these leaders actively worked to betray Bob Matthews. One went to the CIA and complained that this guy, that he was an agent because he was trying to recruit some new men down south. And, of course, that didn't help the guys stay secret. So I want you to always remember that, because back in the old days when nobody was standing up and not apologizing for anything of the order, a few of us were supporting the order, and we always did. And he was a real prototype because, like I said, he was a working man. He was a rancher. He was a good American, a good white American. I don't think you could find anybody who was more white American than Bob Matthews, and very patriotic in his way. I keep hammered against the right wing because we can't go any farther with the right wing. The right wing has become the enemy. Now, if you consider yourself a right winger and not a revolutionary activist or a pan-Aryanist, I'm sorry. The right wing and the conservative movement, you've seen what they have done once they got power. They're as bad or worse than the other side. At least the left is against the war in Iraq. At least the left is for for the ecology. At least the left, is a lot of them are for the working guys, and they don't want the corporations sending your jobs out of the country. So over a period of time, I find myself adopting more positions out of some of the left than I do the right. The right is totally bankrupt. We get no support from the right. They'll develop little groups where you can sit around and drink coffee and eat donuts, but they're never going to go anywhere. And they're full of informants. I consider Bob Matthews to be the first of the lone wolves, in which you know what I say about, I support the concept of lone wolves and cell. Bob Matthews was the embodiment of that as a lone wolf, and then he developed a cell. Now, if he'd have developed cells in different parts of the country that were autonomous, that thing could have started moving forward very well. But by bringing more people into one cell that he did not have control or didn't know much about, that was his undoing. We learn the hard way, and I hope we learn and change things and just have a few friends in a cell. Don't have a cell that's too big. Oh, you can get together like this, but your cell, you know, like they say, what a friend is? I say, you know what a friend is? That's a person who'll take a bullet for you. How many friends do you have? That's the kind of people you got to have in a cell, or operate totally as a lone wolf. And we've advocated for 20 years or better to infiltrate. Don't wear your symbols all over town or on the job or anything like that. If you need be, pretend to be the enemy. If you need to be on the job, pretend you're a liberal. Because we are a marginalized, small percentage of the public. And the only way you can operate when you're a revolutionary outfit and you're marginalized is to infiltrate and tread water until you can get power, or the government loses power. This government is losing power every day. That's why it's acting so strangely, does strange things. Lashing out, and you know, this Iraq deal, all this stuff. Maybe they'll go into Iran next. It's out of control. And to me, it's like a snake eating its own tail, and I'm happy for that. Everything we should be against is in Washington and the corporations. The transnational corporations, of which the left understand completely, are what shipped all the jobs to China, what shipped the industry to China, red China. And wasn't it the Republicans who went to China first, Nixon and all those people? The Democrats didn't do that, and I'm not saying we like the Democrats. It's the stockholders and these giant corporations and big families of rich in this country, the rich elite, that run the show, and they run the politicians. And see, when you see a candidate running for office, his wife's got $9 billion, and you see, what was that little twerp from Texas that ran? He had $10 billion. How can we identify with people like that? The enemy. Now here's where you can get down with the left wing and talk and pick out the things you agree on and just not yell too much about what you don't agree on until you sort of get them listening to you. Because there's a lot of people on the left that are very sharp, and if we can get them into the race thing, they've got all the rest. A lot of them are highly educated, more highly educated than the average one of us. That was something the racist cause didn't understand for years. And I've been condemned by the right wing for preaching what I preach. But I know I'm right, and I'm going to keep preaching it. I've always said Bob Matthews died for our sins. If we'd have done what we should have done, and what the right wing should have done, there would have been no need for Bob Matthews to do what he did. So the right wing betrayed Bob Matthews, so he struck out in the only way he could. You know, I've got some other notes, but I put them in another pocket, and I got so damn many pockets here, I couldn't find them. The conservatives condemn socialism. And I've heard a lot of guys who claim to be racist condemn socialism. But they say they're Nazis. Well, you can't condemn socialism and be a national socialist. If Hitler was anything, he was a socialist. He wasn't a capitalist. He wasn't a communist. He was a socialist. Well, you can use the word populist. You got to look back in our history the way it was with working men back at the turn of the last century when they were working them 20 hours a day and putting kids on in the mills and so forth. Little kids are 12 years old. It fought to get that 8-hour day and all that, the labor movement. It came out of populism and it came out of the left. If it had been up to the conservative right, it has still been working 25 hours a day for minimum wage, and that's what they're putting you back in now. It's come full circle. The conservative guys are in power, the Republicans in power. And your wages are going down, your jobs are disappearing, they're letting all the non-whites come in, and yet they'll get people out there running after the Republican Party. Of course, the Democrats are in on it, too. You ought to watch some of the old movies like the Molly Maguires and Matt Twan, and one of my favorites is Fist with Stallone. Did you ever see Fist? That movie, Fist, and you'll see what it was like when your grandfathers or your great-grandfathers were trying to get someplace. If this is not a white working class struggle, racist, it's nothing. Because your white leaders have totally abandoned you, just like the right wing abandoned Robert Matthews. You're either going to have to stand on your own as white working people and fight for your interests against the multinationals and the very rich of this country, or you're going to lose. They say all the time, well, you're starting class warfare. You're absolutely right. I'm starting class warfare. And there's a class of these people in this country that I would hope to exterminate at some time in the future, and hopefully it's sooner than later. The dream of Bob Matthews goes on. It never ended. Like all this kind of evolution of politics, it seems like it's laying low, but it's changing. This struggle has changed tremendously since the 70s, when we were all John Birch types and conservatives and like that. And it started changing just about the time Bob Matthews made his move. And I said at that time, we can never go back. We can never go back to what it was before. This is a new day. And we have to find our friends where we can find them. If the Muslims attack Washington, D.C., that's fine. Go. If Aslan attacks Washington, D.C., let him go. My enemy, the enemy of my enemy, is my friend, at least for a little while. With a breakdown in this country, I want you to learn everything you can for what you see in Iraq. Don't watch the Zog troops over there. watch the Iraqis. They're fighting a brilliant resistance war in Iraq.
That's the way we're going to have to fight.
It's going to be fought that way in this country, too, at one point or another. And I don't want to see any white guy go over there in American uniform and get killed. I talk to these Marines every day and try to talk them out of it. But by the time they get them brainwashed, they're into it. But when you see an American soldier over there with 70 pounds of equipment on his back, a flak jacket on, helmets on, radios on, and everything else, and you see an Iraqi running down the street with nothing but a T-shirt, a pair of pants, and a machine gun with bandoliers around him, he is a revolutionary, and those kind of people will ultimately win. Zog will not win in the Middle East. They will waste all those billions of dollars, but they'll never win. The British tried it, and they failed. In the meantime, we keep saying, don't stockpile weapons. Don't give the Fed some reason to come snooping around and raiding your house. If there's anybody with drugs, get away from them. Get them out. And just be plain white working people and be as good a person in the community as you can without denying your racial views. I walk around my community. I've been there 36 years. And I have contacts all over the community. They all know what I believe in. I talk to these people every day. They don't run me out. They don't condemn me. Some do behind my back. I get along with people. That's what you have to do. Like Mao Zedong said, you got to swim in the sea of the people if you're going to be a revolutionary type. You got to be able to move in society and listen and have people in key positions and cater and recruit people. And recruit's not a good word, but get with people, network with people who are in good positions, who are like our spies. You're behind enemy lines. Don't you know that? That government hates you. They'll do anything to get you out of the way. Now, more just as a nuisance. But they're afraid it could maybe develop into something. And it will. But if you act stupid, you're not going to make it. And if you think it's more important to run around with symbols all over you and front yourself off, you're not going to make it. You can't be a good revolutionary soldier if you wear your uniform everywhere. You can't be a spy and wear your uniform into where you work. You got to be cool. You got to be as deceptive as the kites. You got to outsmart them. I got to give credit to the Jews. They are sneaky bastards, man. But you got to become sneaky bastards. There's only one morality, and that is to win. Win at all costs. And use almost any method you have to use to win. You know, I addressed the Black Panther Party. I got a standing ovation at the Black Panther Party a few years ago. Why? Because I didn't stand there talking about what we disagreed on. I concentrated on, we hate the government just as bad as you. We're separatists. And most of these people, the blacks, respect that. When they rioted in L.A., I said, fine. Burn the goddamn place down. We'll even supply you with the gas. Burn the federal building. And when you get done, go to Beverly Hills and burn the Jews out. We won't lift a finger to stop you. Just don't go into the white working class neighborhoods, because then we'll have to kill you. That's the way you got to start thinking and quit telling people, I would never be violent. Quit telling people that. Of course, anyone could be violent. I can be violent. You can be violent. These guys in the right wing go around, well, we're not violent, no. We would never disobey the law. Oh, we sort of respect the government. They're a little wrong, but if we vote for the right guy, he'll get right. But you cannot be never violent. I love it when my enemy says he'll never be violent. The guy sitting there in a house with a pot of gold and says he'd never be violent, I'm just going to go in and take his gold. We got to think streetwise. And I think most of you guys know something about being streetwise. There's some very good things that happen in this country. We're close to a certain type of economic collapse. That's good. You see, I have the attitude that Lenin wrote about, and he was a tremendous tactician, Lenin, the communist. Hitler borrowed a hell of a lot off Lenin. If you'll read his books, you'll see he did. Worse is better for now. Worse is better. When the conservative looks at the paper and says, oh, I say, I laugh. Is it wonderful? Oh, we're running out of oil. That's good. The dollar's going down a tube. That's good. We're running out of water. Oh, that's good. Anything that leads to chaos is on our side. Anything that leads to the weakening of the central government in the United States and Great Britain and South Africa and Australia is good. But the right wing and the conservative type races, they've always thought, well, every time a conservative cries, we should cry too. Baloney! You got no more than 20 years until there's an oil collapse. And then, boy, all bets are over. Then you can bring out all those guns and you'll have a lot of fun. Because nothing will be moving. China's holding $2 trillion in U.S. bills and bonds. If China happened to decide to go stabilize on the euro dollar, the United States would collapse in 24 hours. Even the best economic experts are saying we are close to a meltdown in this country. That's good. Worse is better. You can't possibly win if Washington is strong. And the Iraqi war is going to help us a lot. Because they're talking about these 1,000 or 2,000 wounded guys coming back. Wounded, that's sort of a nice word when you get your legs and arms blown off. They're just wounded. And a certain percentage of them are going to come back here really pissed off, like McVeigh, like Louis Beam, and a lot of people recruited from the Vietnam era. And some of them, of course, were in the order. I'm not saying you're going to recruit them all, but they're going to be hell to pay. And when the left start marching in the streets, I love to see 10,000 leftists marching in the streets because I'm going to go march with them. I've been waiting on them, but they haven't done it yet. But when they do, it's not going to be like Vietnam where we went out and fought them in the streets. But then towards the latter part of the war, we said, this war is bullshit, and we didn't attack them anymore because it was a bad war. These people down here demonstrating against the war today, if I'd had a little time, I was going to get out and march with them. You don't have to tell them you're a racist or a Nazi. Just march with them. Make some contacts. I know Bob Matthews would be happy to hear this kind of talk. Bob Matthews was tired of hearing the tired, old, conservative, right-wing, reactionary crap that just made the rich guys happy and kept these guys meeting in their little rooms, having their donuts and saying, someday we're going to change things. So I hope we turn out to be as good a people as he was. I hope we turn out to be as committed as he and his followers are, and all the men that are doing the hard time in prison. I think out of the people who are involved today, there's a percentage that will be there when the real crap hits the fan. But a lot of us are going to, there'll be mistakes. Some of us will go to prison. You've got Patriot Act 2, which probably could end up trying to stop my freedom of speech, because my kind of speech doesn't make them too happy. But we got to be willing to go that route. And if we have to kill, we will kill. There's sure a lot of killing that needs to be done, but we don't want to do it for silly reasons, not aim way down low. I keep telling people, why, if you're going to spend life in prison, why you want to kill some nigger on the street corner? Go for the big boys. Reminds me of one time I was tracking George Bush Sr. You got to practice these things. I tracked him in Escondido. He was giving a speech. And I realized how incompetent the government is, and the FBI, the famous but incompetent, they're the most incompetent. I got within 3 feet of George Bush Sr. He was president of the United States. I said, there's no security here. This is all BS. I mean, I walked through all these agents right up. They had a string of bales around. Only the party faithful were supposed to be inside those bales. I just slowly slithered into the party faithful, and I walked up, and pretty soon I'm right there. Here comes George, and he's right here, and he's passing on just like this man here, and there he was. I said, hi. Watch The Wizard of Oz. The Great Oz, what did he turn out to be? Just a guy with a crank and blowing smoke and had a big face. That's Washington. The guy that plowed the damn plane into the World Trade Center lived about an hour's drive from me. And while the FBI were all following Alex Curtis around for putting up papers on telephone poles, here was the guy getting ready to plow into the World Trade Center, and they had an FBI informant living in the same building. Are you really afraid of those kind of people? You don't have to be afraid of them. Just act intelligently. We have more collective brain power than they do. And they're getting paid heavy for it. If their paycheck stops, how long do you think they would go to work? How long do you think an FBI man would go to work if he didn't get a check? Would he work for nothing like we do? No. So don't be worried too much about those people. About their pay now, the FBI, we may be recruiting a few of them. We may be able to pay them more than they're getting now one of these days, because they're really griping about their pay being too low. Well, anyhow, that's about it. I told the boys I had a clip of a tape. I wasn't able to bring it up with me to where we were on the scene not long after the shootout here on Whidbey Island. John and I and Carl Strait, and I think there was somebody else. I don't remember who it was. We came onto this property in the middle of the night, snuck onto the property, and we had the headlights of the car to light us up. Everything was all charred and all the, you know, the leftover from the building. We had a little ceremony right there in the middle of the night. And I'm going to get that tape. We're going to put it on the internet probably. And so I've been here 3 or 4 times, I guess. And someday the whole story will be told, but I can't tell it now, okay? Thanks a lot.
Well, that's it for now. Yeah, the one thing I was wrong on was the oil situation. I was off base on that. Everything else, I don't think I said any differently today than I did then. That was 20 years after the death of Robert Matthews on Whidbey Island. And my views have not changed significantly at all since then. I think we're going to cut the show a little short today, but I had one more message I received here from one of our people. I was talking to a customer today on my job that brought his vehicle in for repair. He says that the oil companies are doing massive layoffs. He says he's going back home. Excuse me. Apparently this is happening pretty quickly. He added that they are laying off the good workers and keeping the poor ones. I've noticed a lot of ghetto Negroes up here driving semis and so on, making good money. I think that there is some group out there shipping these niggers up here with everything laid out for them. No more of that shit, hopefully. This message is coming from North Dakota. At the time I was talking to this customer, a Negro walked in. He brought his brand new Dodge outfitted with a welding rig. I was telling the guy that any discoloration of his mass airflow sensor required replacement. The Negro walked out after I said that. They seemed to get a laugh out of that. I'm making $50 per hour. I normally make half that. If this dries up, I will probably find whatever work I can for the summer and head back to Arizona this winter in my RV. Rent up here is $1,500 a month. Yeah, and that's the end of that. We were recommending people to go up there and make some good money and then take it back home. In a way, I felt a little guilty about that because that whole oil well stuff up there in Dakotas is going to ruin the state, and putting these pipes all over the place that are erupting and all these oil cars that are wrecking and spilling oil all over everything. It's too bad. It's terrible. But they don't have time for that. They're worried about Craig Cobb. He's going to destroy the whole state. If you happen to pass through Leith, North Dakota, you could go over and look at my lot there. And right across, they tell me it's right across the street from the bar. So that'll make it easy for you. And please cut down the weeds while you're there. Well, that's it for now, boys and girls. I'll be back with you on Moon's Day with another big, 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 big shoe. And I hope it's even warmer on Monday. Oh, yes. I'll let you go back to watching the march across the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, again for the 9,000th time. They've played that thing. You know, I've been in riots nearly that wild myself. And nobody plays those riots back like that. Every 5 minutes, they're showing that goddamn march across that bridge. You know, the reason Negroes can't get any place is not necessarily just because of their IQ, it's because they whine. The Jews have taught them to whine all the time. They're doing it to me, man. They did it back then. Now they're doing it again, and they're going to keep doing it. They're just going to keep doing it. That's why we follow Whitey around wherever he goes, man. We don't want to get separated from him. We got to have race mixing because we got to get together with Whitey, man. They make me sick. I emailed these people. I said, you know, why do you go from being a slave to another slave of the slave master's religion? You became Christians. Why would you be Christians? That's the slave master's religion. Oh, jeez. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
Let me tell you about Ahab, the Arab, the sheik of the burning sands. He had emeralds and rubies just a-dripping off of him and a ring on every finger of his hand. He wore a big old turban wrapped around his head and a scimitar by his side. And every evening about midnight he'd jump on his camel named Clyde and ride silently through the night to the Sultan's tent, where he would secretly meet up with Fatima of the Seven Veils, the swingin'est number one dancer in the Sultan's whole harem. 'Cause like him and her had a thing going, you know, and they've been carrying on for some time now behind the Sultan's back. And you could hear him talk to his camel as he rode out across the dunes. His voice would cut through the still night desert air, and he'd say, oh, yeah, 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 oh, yeah, 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 which is Aramaic for, whoa, babies. And Clyde say, well, he brought his camel to a screeching halt in the rear of Fatima's tent. Jumped off Clyde, snuck around the corner and into the tent he went. There he saw Fatima laying on a zebra skin rug, with rings on her fingers and bells on her toes and a bone in her nose, ho, ho. There she was, friends and neighbors laying there in all her radiant beauty, eating on a raisin and a grape and an apricot and a pomegranate, a bowl of chitterlings, two bananas, three Hershey bars, and sipping on an ROC Coca, listening to her transistor, watching the Grand Ole Opry, and reading Mad Magazine while she sung, does your chewing gum lose its flavor? And Ahab walk up to her and he say, oh yeah, 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 oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, which is Aramaic for, let's twist again like we did last summer, babies. And she say, crazy baby. All of a sudden the Sultan walked in. Ahab knew that this was the end. Him and Fatima was caught by surprise, and the Sultan had fire flashing out of his eyes. Well, the Sultan charged at Ahab, intending to make a dent in his head. But he fled with Fatima, and out of the tent they went. They jumped on Clyde and started to ride, cutting out across the sand, with the Sultan's whole army in hot pursuit. On and on they ran. Well, to make a long story short, they got away, 'cause there weren't no animal alive what could keep up with Clyde once he got started, 'cause he would have swept his feet on the old desert babies. And they made it across the border where he had hopped all his rubies and emeralds, and they bought him a swanging little split-level pad and lived happy ever after. Yeah, and that's the story about Ahab, the Arab, the sheik of the burning sands.